Good. So I hope that you are all comfortable. It's so special to have you come out this evening. We're thrilled to be together in person for this Upbuild community event. We don't have a lot of opportunities to gather in person, and we don't take it lightly. And we also have the best offering we could possibly think of, which is to allow us all to hear from Sachinandan Swami in a few minutes, in honor of the occasion, bringing the community together in this way. I'm also aware that some of you have come from the subway or from taxis. Some of you are coming from much further, and we welcome all of you. We're very, very grateful that you're here. Thank you for making this community what it is. And, you know, when we began Upbuild, Rasanath and I were always thinking that it will be the force of a community that will encourage and inspire one another and push each other, provoke each other to advance beyond the level where we're presently at. So we all have that sacred responsibility and connection with each other, which we hope will increase more and more. We have many ideas for the future, but tonight is, again, an amazing opportunity. We just had a seminar or a series of sessions with Sachinandana Swami on Zoom, the spiritual experiences of a lifelong monk. How many of you were present for that? Okay, and it was quite an experience, no? Yeah, so now we have the chance to learn more how we can, what we're terming tonight, cultivate the inner life. The theme for this evening is to cultivate the inner life. We have a life externally. We have so many duties, so many demands on our time and energy. But what about the life inside? And can that propel our external life? Can we come from a different place? What does that look like? What does that feel like? How do we cultivate the inner life? Is everybody inspired to do that? I am very inspired to do that. And so Sachinandana Swami has been teaching how to cultivate the inner life for so many years. He's been a monk for 51 years and a practitioner on the path of bhakti yoga. He's traveled around the world sharing his teachings. He's written many books that are exceptional if you get the chance to read them. Some of you know. And he also does musical meditation called kirtan, which we will have the chance to experience tonight. For the sake of cultivating the inner life, it will be something to look forward to, that kirtan, which will awaken our inner life more and more. So we will have a lecture, we'll have a kirtan, we'll have a chance to ask questions, and then Sachinandana Swami will also be available to meet those who would like to see him after. And we'll have a dinner at 8:30, where we can also connect with each other some more. And that is thanks to Divya's kitchen. Divya and Prentice are also giving us this wonderful sacred space. We're very, very grateful. And there was an amazing team that came together to make this happen. So we're grateful for everybody involved. Can you hear me, or is it cutting out? Okay, wonderful. So the last thing is just cultivate the fertile soil for cultivating the inner life. We have three pillars of our culture. Your full-hearted participation, that means please be fully present. I know there are so many things in the mind, so many things that we're thinking about. If you can bring your mind, and even better, bring your heart, which makes it easier to bring your mind, that will make it a totally different experience. Full-hearted participation, respect, that this is a very sacred space, and we want everyone to feel that sanctity by our respect for each other, our regard for the sanctity of each person in this room, and your determination. that we didn't come just to get a morsel of an experience for one evening. We came to take some teaching with us that we can practice in our lives. And that requires the orientation of determination. So will you kindly give your full-hearted participation, respect, and determination? A show of hands. Thank you. It makes all the difference. And we feel it.
So without
further ado, we invite Satchinandana Swami to guide us through the evening.
Thank you very much.
It will be loud for a moment. So, first of all, I would like to affectionately greet all of you. I think some of us have been looking forward to this moment in time. There was a time when we met in the Zoom conference. I see a few known faces from that time, and I felt it would be so nice, so much more nice to meet in real space, and somehow that became possible, so the moment has arrived. The Swami with a strange German accent has flown from overseas to your town of New York and brought an a very important subject matter with him, and I liked very much your tune-in where you said we hope to leave you with something permanent, something that you can keep revisiting in your life that is useful, that maybe even say makes a paradigmic shift perhaps. So I'm very excited. I have prepared this program. It's the first time where I address this subject to to people like you, who are already in a community and on the way to spiritual discoveries. So, very, very much welcome. Now I want to present things like this. I will first speak about the inner life, perhaps start with how it started with me to become interested in this subject. I see your process of, yes? Okay, yes, when I can speak directly in the microphone, it's easier to listen to me. Problem is here, it's like a medieval gallo, you know, which sinks down with the weight of a corpse, you know. So, sorry for this. Yeah, the problem is this group, you have to, believe me, I'm an expert in gallo-like microphones. You say a prayer. Yes. So we will start with. I would like to share a little bit with you how I came to this, but create a sense of urgency for my subject matter. Then I would like to give you some philosophical insights, and then we will embark on a really practical exploration of the inner life. I hope by that time we are all in a mastermind, that is our we can tap into the field of awareness that is hopefully created. And then I will invite you to sing with me a mantra. Afterwards, this question and answer and other things. Now, before I can start, I want to make sure that you are all comfortably seated. Michael, I know in the room where we spoke, there is a wealth of chairs. You know, there are many chairs. And because I will be speaking for some time, it's good if you find. We have taken the chair, or they are already distributed. Fine. I love doing this. I was today in the botanical garden, and we visited the Zen garden, a beautiful Zen garden, created for inner contemplation. And there was a gate in it, a red gate in the midst of a lake. It was a torii, and it was a gate where we go from the transcendence, the material dimension, to the sacred dimension. And exactly that is what I want to do today. I want to go with you from material experiences to spiritual experiences. To do so, I request you that we can create a beautiful field here, spiritual field. I would like to chant with you a mantra. Even lose yourself for a moment to enter into a different realm of consciousness. I will say the mantra one time alone, and then we will say it three or five times. We will see. We will see. Together.
I'm sorry.
Should even come, yes, thank you that you say it, and not just tolerate it. The microphone is still not enlightened. So now it should be better. Good. One time I've chanted this mantra alone, then we will chant together.
Amen.
The fastest way, really, to de-stress and to enter into that other space which we just know is there, and we hear its calling, otherwise we wouldn't always be with the adult community, no? Or again and again be with these programs. The easiest way is to just do this what the ancient sages say, lose yourself, to find yourself. What they refer to is that we come to this dimension in us that is invisible. The more important parts of us, our thoughts, our moods, love, God, and the self, they are invisible, like the oxygen in the air. But if there wouldn't be any oxygen, we would suffocate and hope to get to the lift and then escape. We need it, although we can't see it. Yet so much of our time is spent in the visible world, our dress, our appearance to others. I know people who change twice a day their dress. It's expensive, I can imagine. They are so worried about the onslaught of old age, where the hair become brittle and escape the head, they fall out. We are so much invested in the likes which we can have on Facebook, bank account. These visible things are taking us often away from these invisible or invisible treasures that is the self and God. And in this way, we have little access to the inner life and pay most heavily the price. We are not settled in ourselves. We do not think and speak and act from a place of satisfaction or contentment, is a better word. And we become more and more addicted to search for improvements in the visible world, losing more and more our access to our real treasures, and the treasures that wait for someone who goes the inner path. My dear everyone, discovering the inner path is not a matter of joining a particular religion. Discovering the inner path is not a matter of visiting a program. Discovering the inner path alive is not really also about joining a movement, although many people think it is. Discovering the inner path is a highly subjective and individual affair. Something that is very, very, very necessary. The Vedas say, there's a space within every one of us, a space in which we find the soul, the self, unlimited love. Everything is there. Are you? important, this inner dimension. If I would be forced to express in percentages how, let us say, prominent the inner and outer life is, I would say, in comparison to the outer life, the inner life, what is 98% of our life. But if it's neglected, or if it is not explored, or if you have not any palpable experiences in that, you might look for the inner life outside, or the inner life, I would say, the treasures of the inner life outside. My spiritual master used the example of the musk deer. I don't know, it's a perfume, I think, which is used by men who wish to attract ladies, but I'm not an expert in this field, so... but I know that the gland from where this musk is produced is immediately above the navel of the musk deer. So at a particular time of the year, this gland produces this rare fragrance, the musk fragrance, and the deer becomes totally enchanted and wants to find the source of the musk and runs all over the forest. It runs to the river, to the waterfall, it runs to the place where the high trees grow, it runs everywhere without ever saying to itself, stop, it's here, it's right here. Once I've tried to write a poem, it goes like this. Stop, where are you running? Everything you look for is inside. If you keep running and looking outside, you might miss it all. Yes, so someone who wishes to enter a real experience of the inner life should not be afraid of a zone which he must walk through courageously. This zone is known as the liminal space. Do you have this in your vocabulary? Liminal space, we have. Maria, you are knowing everything. Maria, no? Mary, Mary. We say Maria. how would you define the liminal space?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
It's the space between where you don't quite know where you are. It's disorienting.
Yeah.
And yet something keeps you looking.
Yeah. Wonderful definition. It's a space between with what was in the past and what is not yet discovered fully. It's a state which is an in-between state, like Mary said. And I want to read you a quote because I think it is nicely expressed in this by Mr. Richard Rohr. He lives in America. He describes this space as where we are betwixt and between the familiar and the completely unknown. There alone, where our old world is left behind, while we are not yet sure of the new existence. There alone is our old world left behind, while we are not yet sure of the new existence. That's a good space where genuine newness can begin. Get there often and stay as long as you can by whatever means possible. This is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall apart and a much bigger world is revealed. If we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. Once again, if we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, we start idealizing normalcy. No? The threshold between what you know and what you want to explore, the threshold is God's waiting room. Here we are taught openness and patience as we come to expect an appointment with the divine doctor. Beautifully put, isn't it? Even a little poetically and thought stimulating. If you want to, because it's so nice, you can come afterwards with your mobile telephones and make a snapshot. Because one wants to read it a few times, really. Does this sound scary? Perhaps it sometimes does. I have seen monks, who have, one of my monk friends was a Rolling Stones fan. And so when he entered monkhood, he gave away all his classics, you know. It was a huge collection. I said, was it difficult? He said, no. 2 months later, he went to the flea market where there was a likelihood that he would be able to repurchase, and he bought the whole collection back because he felt, yes, he had left one old world, but he had not yet reached the new. So he needed to import something old into this liminal space to feel good. So we heard from his earphones, I can't get no sadness, and so on. You know, Hare Krishna. I know this song. In this liminal space, we often hold on to old habits. Believe me, you see me in a dress. I can see this with an eye, and many, many people, they try to give something, get rid of something, get rid of the world, because it does not fulfill the deepest expectations. But then, when they cannot reach very quickly the ecstatic new world, blissful world of new discoveries, then they enter the, they bring in the old stuff, redressed, and so on, and so on. I think we have to be compassionate to those who do it, and perhaps we all do it ourselves a little bit. See, the inner life is possible when you bravely encounter that mechanism which stands at the door to the inner space. We all have the sacred space. We all feel the longing. One philosopher said it so nicely. The fact that I yearn for something that the world cannot give me is a sign that I belong to another world. Beautifully put. The fact that there is this longing, there's a mystic person who prays, oh my Lord, if you wouldn't be there, why have you given me this longing for you? Then you must be there. Please, withdraw the veil that covers your beautiful face so that I can meet you. Hmm? And so on. So, so we are this inner sacred space, however, is guarded. There is a chowkidar, they say in India, an armed guard before the door that leads inside. This is called in Sanskrit the anahankara, the eye maker. In your language, it is called the ego, the false ego. The false ego has three functions. It looks for an identification and grabs for it. It looks for me, the concept of me, that is, these belong to me, possessions, titles. My new English word, I will try it on you, accolades. My vow is to learn every day one new English word, and this was a new one. Me, and what is it? What else is there? Mine. Things that, yeah, similar. That I like the me, which are belonging to. Talk to me. This is mine. This is my glass case. This is not mine. This is also not mine. What is mine here? This karatas. And this world of I, me, and mine, which is based on someone who we are not, the false ego, is expanding and expanding and surrounding us in form of identifications, possessions, in which we are deeply invested with our feelings, and so on and so forth. There's a illusory I and mine that's called the false ego, the phantom ego, but there is also an enlightened I. Me and mine, and if this enlightened I, me and mine steps to the side and says, here is the entrance to that sacred space. This enlightened thing is not constrained, I and mine, it is expanding. Yes, I am a part of the divine reality. I am a part of God. When the small I, me, and mine, or the small ego is subdued, you enter the small mind. And when the enlightened idea of who I am comes to you, you will blissfully enter the big mind. And your previous life and the life which you try to reconstruct in the liminal space seems, oh, that was not necessary. Why did I see things in such an illusioned way? Inner life really means to transform the sense of I, me, and mine. New values come up. New identities come up. My dear everyone, I shared in one of the Zoom programs which we did on the brink of death, something with you which I would like to summarize here again. You know, there were two moments in my life when I saw the reality is beyond the small mind. The one thing happened when I was under anesthesia, and the anesthesia did not work any longer. I was lying there on the surgical table and felt the surgeon's knife working on my belly, and I could only compare it with Chinese torture. I had heard that there are some really, really there are deaths which take 14 days because they know how to inflict pain without letting you faint, you know. So I felt like this. I was awakening to this torture. And then the surgeon did a wrong move, and all of a sudden a fountain of blood must have come out. At least they said like this. I came to awareness. It was like diving from a bottom of a muddy lake up, and everything. Then it became brighter and brighter around me. All of a sudden, I could hear the surgeons speaking. Oh no, emergency! Main vein is cut. Oh no, what did we do? And there was panic, and I was also panicking. Understandably, I hope. And then all of a sudden, snap, I was out of the body and out of the pain. I was floating over my body, and I saw how they rushed in different procedures, and I felt no pain and no panic. Then my inborn characteristic curiosity came over me. I wonder if the monk whom I have requested to pray for me in the waiting room of the hospital is actually praying, or whether he is, or if he is asleep, because he rises at such an inhuman time to do the worship, first worship. So just by wanting this, I passed through the walls, and I didn't think that is strange. I thought, how natural to pass through walls. I didn't notice it. Then I came down, I came the corridors, I went I went the steps up without having any plan of the hospital. It was a major hospital. And finally, I was in the waiting room. And really, the monk was praying. He was not asleep. Then I thought, well, why don't I kick over the vase? Just to give some color into this. And perhaps if I survive, I can remind him of, if he saw the vase coming down and splintering on the floor. But then I thought, this is too crazy now. This might be your last moment on planet Earth. This body now, please sober up, I think they would say in New York. No? Sober up. No? So then I built myself back into the surgeon's theater where the operation was going on. I saw many things. I will not repeat what is there on the brink of death. But I have seen I am not the body and not the panic-stricken mind. There's a reality beyond it. It waits, it calls. Everything's here. Are you? Every day it calls. It's the sacred space within all of us. And if we can bypass or transform the ego from the illusory understanding of who I am into the enlightened understanding of who I am, then this is very good. Very, very good. This is where the inner life starts in all seriousness. Without this transformation, my dear everyone, it is only conceptual what you feel. It is mental. And what's wrong with that? It's nice to have good concepts, I agree. But in the time when things go differently than you planned them, in times when things are having a question mark behind them, in times when you're in the waiting room of God, where you know something new has to come and wants to come but has not yet come, in that time, concepts don't help you any longer. At that time, only real discoveries happen. My spiritual master said, yes, a spiritual person will also perceive happiness and distress. Happiness and distress are perceived as long as we are in a physical body and have a mind. But the difference between a person who is in material consciousness and the person who's in spiritual consciousness is how he deals with happiness and distress. And that is, he will not be overwhelmed by them. It won't shake him in the core. I want to help you or see if I can guide you this evening into an experience of the inner life. Katha Upanishad said, the wise who desire immortality turn their gaze inside and see the indwelling self, the Atma. I would like to guide you in a meditation that comes out in a forthcoming book. It's called the Become Who You Are meditation. Are you enthusiastic to try this out?
Yes.
Good. Hari Bol. Strangely, I developed this idea I do this meditation regular, actually every day. But one day I got a letter from someone, and then I decided, okay, let me not be stingy. I share this meditation. The letter came from one young teenager. It said, you have two chances. Every person, it says, has two chances to make substantial changes. When you are a teenager and when you are in the midlife crisis, the so-called, you know, I think you have it every day, but that's what some say. So here's a teenager writing. Well, no, she writes, who am I? Well, my name is Susan Hohlfeld, but am I just a combination of letters? No, of course, that's not me. So who am I? Well, I was born on a specific date in a specific year. I'm in the ninth grade and go to high school. One day I want to be a doctor, but right now I like to play tennis and the piano. I also enjoy horseback riding, and I love to watch movies. But is that who I am? No, these are just things I do. Who is it that does these activities? Who hears when I hear? Who sees when I see? Who feels when I feel? Who is the one inside who makes all these experiences? I'm not my grades. I'm not my assessments or my achievements. I'm not my experiences. I'm not my memories. I'm not even my likes. I'm not my feelings of loneliness, she's a teenager, of helplessness or contentment. I'm none of that. So none of that should define me. Who am I then? Sachidananda Swami, can you answer me? I get such letters, exciting letters. So, yes, the inner life starts really there. And I want to really say, those who practice spiritual life, those who have decided what is their specific path, revisit this question as of daily, who am I really? Maybe you have only found answers where you put designations or new labels on you. Maybe instead of saying hello, you just have changed it into Haribol and feel very spiritual about yourself. Who is that eternal person who is for a short time in this body and in the mind, and who is leaving all of this behind at the moment of death. My dear everyone, my physical father, who was very dear to me, and is, left his body, and shortly afterwards, my mother, she had announced this. She said, when your father is gone, I will need 2 more months and I will also go. And she did it. She arranged this burial, this cremation, and right after that she went into her bed and never came out again. And my physical father had on his, next to him, where he was lying, 2 books. One was the Bhagavad Gita, and my older brother, who was able to visit on a daily basis, saw that just before he left the body, he had written something on a piece of paper. He had put a smiling face with eyes closed like this, as if he's sleeping there, and he had written underneath. In German language, es ist alles halb so schlimm. Now to translate that one into English is beyond my scope of your language. It means something, it's not as bad, you know, it's really not bad. Yeah, like this, it's really peanuts. New York language, I think there are more cultured ways of expressing things, but it's easy. It's easy, in other words. It's easy to go from this to the other. He was 96, and life was so difficult for him in this old body. But he said, it's easy to go. It's easy to go. So this one, this neglected one, which receives so little attention, that we need to discover if we want a substantial inner life beyond concepts of inner life. And I would like to see if we can go there for a moment. So we are ready now. Let me put this machine on. I must say, it's the first time where I work with this machine, and I'm not so convinced. Yes, this sounds. Tick. Can you hear it? Is it too loud? Is it good? Yes? Louder even. We will soon become very silent and very perceptive. You will see your senses will start to perceive things more clearly. Because if it's much louder, I will not. It will. Good. My dear everyone, I invite you into this journey. We have 3 cultures, 3 parts of the culture here. Repeating what this MC said to us. What was it? Full participation.
Full-hearted
even. Wow. So he said it. He's one of your upbuilt guides. So I will soon ask you to close your eyes. So it is very, it makes us very peaceful. We can just look around before that. Notice this wonderful space in the midst of Manhattan, such large and accommodating space with so much welcoming spirit, no? Find a comfortable sitting position, please. It should be steady yet comfortable. It's good to be on chairs, or it's all right to be on chairs.
just see that you can sit in a erect position and kindly place your hands on your thighs or knees, what is more comfortable. Some have longer arms, some have shorter arms. Palms facing up, and then gently close your eyes. Mentally scan and relax your body part by part. Start by bringing your awareness to your feet. Sense the aliveness in your feet and relax them. Some of us are not so much in touch with our body, we've lost it. So just wiggle maybe your toes, move them, and you will see, aha, there are my toes. Move your awareness up to your knees and then your hips and relax. Move to your spine, scanning your lower back, and then move up your spine to your middle and upper back and relax. Relax while you remain incredibly aware. Relax your abdomen, then your chest, and bring the awareness to your shoulders. It's here where a lot of our stress is. You so want or held. So just relax the shoulders a little bit more. Imagine they are sinking a little lower in the direction of the floor. Yes. Then relax your arms, your hands, back of your neck, the back, and the top of your head, and try to invite the feeling of relaxation. Finally, relax your face. One scientist found 33 muscles in the face. Try to relax. No one will make a photo of you. Relax your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, lips, tongue, jaw. For a moment, sit in silence and notice how fully relaxed your body is now. Just notice. Legs are relaxed. The upper body, shoulders can be more relaxed. Let them sink down a little bit more. And the face. Now bring your awareness to your breath.
breathe in and out through your nose and observe your breath as it flows in a natural rhythm. Let your breath be even and smooth. Now it's just you and your breath. When you're ready, relax also your breathing. And note how your mind, that entity which has this constant thought traffic going through it, notice how your mind settles into peace, quiet, and calm. Whenever a thought comes by, perhaps like a cloud, let it pass. Don't hang on to it or clutch it or grasp it. Next, bring to mind the image of a vast, blue, expansive sky. Hold the image of the vast, clear sky. And let go of your identification with everything that goes on in your life at present. Your job and roles gone. Your possessions and achievements gone. Your worries, concerns gone. See them dissolve into thin air. Your plans and desires gone. Even your various relationships. Your body gone. Your many thoughts, feelings gone. What remains is just your awareness, as vast as clear blue sky. Rest in the state of just being. Sense the spaciousness and the inner joy as you free yourself from all the layers that cover who you truly are. And now ask. Perhaps ask again and again one question and be open to what comes up from within. Who am I? Who am I when everything that is not me is gone? Who am I? Who am I? And everything that is not. rest in the awareness of your true self as long as this meditation continues. Sense also the joy that is ever existing within the unburdened self. Remain pleasant to it. Just be with your true self. Sense the lightness, the vastness. Absorb it fully. Allow it to saturate every cell of your body. Just fill the space in which you are now. Please remain.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare H
From your yourself some time to inhabit your body and your life again. And let us ponder about this wisdom text.
Who is it that sees the bird? Answer: the eye. Who is it that sees the physical eye? The mind. Who sees the mind? The intelligence. Who sees the intelligence then? The self. And who sees the self? God. Once you awaken to this sense of self, the soul, so many wonderful things can start in your life. First of all, the voice of the soul will awaken. It was, so to say, covered a little bit, strongly, and you will long or desire or yearn for a real connection with the Lord in the heart. A connection that fills you with life, that makes you more filled with love, that gives you that inner resilience that will say, oh, when something goes wrong, oh, yes, peanuts. Not important. The voice of the soul will start to speak and sing. That inner life is very, in a sense, very romantic, if you so want, but divinely romantic, not connected with the body and the mind. It is so pure and therefore so consistently ecstatic. Someone who has awakened to their inner life is, in the Sanskrit language, Sat, Chit and Ananda. He feels the qualities of eternity, inner knowing, and just this happiness without a reason. There's a New York bestseller about this. I have seen with my own eyes. But it's not a matter of reading a bestseller. You have to contact the personality who you are and live from this place. And there's a whole new world to discover. I consider myself at the moment a happy baby who crawls around in a world of the spirit. And yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I stumble. Yes, I fall. But there's so much to discover. Wow! If we say in English, wow! That is really good. So, but today, I wanted to continue from your session which you have, remembering who you are.
Remembering who we are.
Yeah. Remembering who we are, yes. I could talk about the feelings in the inner life, but Why not experience it? And during the day, you don't have to go through such an elaborate meditation. You just can make three steps. I did them in the botanical garden, your own botanical garden. I must say, I was a little bit sleep deprived today, and a little bit, there's something that got on my nerves. I also have nerves. And so I just sat in the botanical garden on a bench. I just breathe out. It usually starts in yoga. You first breathe out, not in. You breathe out everything because the residual air brings a lot of sad, you know, moodiness. You know, you just I let all of New York have my bad air. And then I breathe in. And for a moment, I just became aware, I'm an eternal soul. This is not this. The life comes and goes. Happiness and distress comes and goes. And I became a really, really settled. And do you know what happened when I opened my eyes? I saw a lady dressed in black, just 10 meters away from me, also meditating. I think if we start to come in contact with ourselves, we can touch people on a deeper level and inspire them to do that also. And I feel that is some of the essential quality of Upbuild. Upbuild is a community, but not a community with closed doors. It's a community which wishes to share discoveries, not just ideas, also ideas, but discovery, real life discoveries in many fields that are all aligning to the path that leads upwards, not the spiritual path. They are aligning, they help, in other words, first by helping people to become more aware, more conscious, more able to step back perhaps and see from a different perspective, and then move on, obviously. It's my great honor to be connected to this community. You were so silent. I hope it was all understandable and not displeasing. You were such an attentive audience. Thank you so much. And I wish really that you have these botanical garden moments or these moments where you just sit and step back. You will see many, many more things. Every now and then, step back. Leonardo da Vinci, I'm trying to remember. Every now and then, step back and see your work from a distance. Because only when you step back, you can see more in one glance. And you can see where there are parts that are a little bit out of proportion. Or you can see where there are parts which can be deleted, or, as we say in New York, dumped from our life. Step back, because after all, your life should be a piece of art. No? So this inner life allows us to step back and see from a new perspective. Thank you very much for your kind attention. I just a question on the side. Can you understand my English, or is it too much accent? It's all right. Trying to improve. Yes. Good. All right. Then let us see. I hear there are noises from a very promising kitchen. Divya's kitchen is not an ordinary kitchen. It is Divya's kitchen. Are there any questions you would like at this moment before they are ready to serve the meal? Then I have there's one question I see, but I expected an ocean of questions. So let us do like this. Turn, please, to your neighbor. I want you to activate you now. To your neighbor is the person who sits next to you.
Right or left?
What?
To the right or to the left?
As you wish. As you choose. Yes. That shouldn't be so difficult. You really look in it's a different space, isn't it, in which we are. Who has not yet found a neighbor? Please be so kind now to share. Please be so kind now to share with your neighbor what went on, either in the class or the lecture, what you took from that, or what went on for you in the meditation, what you took from that. It will help you very much if you hear what another person saw, because then you see the world through an eye of the other. And that's already one step away from the constricted perception. No? So, what went on? We can do like this. Who is partner A here in this? A? Yes. And who is partner B, if I may ask? Yes, good. You all got it. Okay, partner B goes first. Then I always do, because everyone starts to loosen up when I get partner B goes first.
Wonderful.
Please give him also the space to reveal. It's nice, this exchange. But go ahead, talk like you want. You're talking very nicely. We have about 3 more minutes for this, so please focus.
Your sharing was very animated. Yes, I would be very happy if there were one or two questions. I saw one gentleman. Please voice your question.
So there are moments where I feel connected and I feel like just like very present and very in the moment and wanting to be of service, and then feelings of intimidation.
So feelings of intimidation can come up, or insecurity, or anxiety can come up, and it's definitely, I wouldn't have called it a liminal moment in the past, but I'll probably call it that from now on. But, you know, as you're engaged in a conversation and that type of moment comes up, how would you deal with that?
Thank you very much, and I think it's a very relevant question that sometimes... Yes, we do feel inspired. At other times, we feel just overwhelmed with things like anxieties and so on. See, the inner life can be best compared with a garden. Just like a plant can grow in the garden which is well cultivated, you know, the weeds are taken out, there's got humus,
humus, that this very nice earth, perhaps enough irrigation, sunshine. In the same way, there are a few things which you can cultivate, really like a gardener who cultivates the inner garden, the garden of the heart. And these things which you just do will usually take care that something which has to do with being can grow. I would like to give you the four S's. They start out with S in Sanskrit. The first is, if you want to cultivate your inner life, the garden of your inner life, it's very good to have sangha, association, with those who are already there or at least aspiring to go there. You will see, something will start within you that is known as resonance. It's almost as if you have the strings here in your heart, the heart strings, which are sat chit, another eternity, knowledge and bliss. And when you come in contact with someone else who has this more developed at the moment than you, then these strings begin to resonate or vibrate. And so sangha is so important. It should be like-minded and inspiring sangha. Sangha is association. That's the first S. Those who have mobile telephones, this is a good time to type it in into your mobile telephone, because you might forget it. The next S is for Shastra. Shastra means spiritual literature that has the potency to uplift your consciousness. The third S is seva, rendering some selfless service, where you don't look for the benefit, for your own benefit, but where you're of benefit to others. And the fourth S is what I think is the next level for the upbuilt community. That is sadhana, or a spiritual practice. I have no idea what you should do as a spiritual practice. It's something that needs to be explored, but if you can do spiritual practice on a regular basis, it's like irrigating the inner garden of the heart. It's so powerful. Oof. It shifts the whole energy level. It's very, very easily, if you can do it undisturbed. I see some people here who have a regular spiritual practice. My dear everyone, it will only help you if you can absorb your mind. That means the extrinsic mind, the external, superficial mind that is not you, if that is silent for a while, and then you absorb the benefits of the spiritual practice that reconstructs you into a better version, or the real version of yourself. So good. Your good name?
Joseph.
Wonderful name. Joseph, I would recommend you take care of the garden of your inner life, the garden of your heart, by these things. That is good association, spiritual literature that uplifts you. You can also listen to online classes if that is easier. Seva, service,
which you seem to do already. You had this, and then finally a regular spiritual practice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. Please try it. It will bring you to the platform of steadiness in your consciousness. It's so strenuous to be on that emotional roller coaster. As children, we liked it, you know, that moment. You're there, and it's high up, and boom, and it's coming, and you know, soon, boom, it goes down, and then you scream, "Juhe!" in German language, as you go down. But if as grown-ups you feel that in your emotions, it's quite strenuous. Yes. Good. Is there someone else who wishes to ask a question at this particular point? I know I'm also like this when I'm listening, and then I'm asked to meditate, and after that I have to ask the question. I'm in a total different space at the moment. So, good. If you're all satisfied. Satisfied, but if yes, then here is one last question. I hope for two questions, actually.
So my question is, you spoke about the liminal space and how it's effectively the threshold that keeps us from going from where we are or where we've been to where we wish to go. And you also spoke how the false ego is the bouncer, the guardian at the door that refuses to let us through.
Bouncer, he is
yes.
God.
Yes. How do we identify those parts of ourselves that are these faults, that is that false ego, as opposed to this real ego that you also spoke about, which is opening the door as opposed to barricading it?
False ego often wants to defend the world it has constructed and is highly angry when there is a call to another world. Whenever you feel that blockage, that false ego, it also always wants to attract attention to a lie that is who you are not. False ego feels always a little constricted. You may feel some excitement when it gets its will, but you don't feel love. You don't feel the vastness which comes into consciousness. It's always constraints. In the scriptures, it is Sanskrit scriptures. An analogy is given to the false ego. It's like a knot. See this knot here? Which draws more and more together. It becomes more and more hard. It binds the eternal soul to what is not eternal. And so on. I know your name. We know each other. Your name is Siddhartha. Have you ever heard a man in America called after Hermann Hesse? Or Hermann Hesse called I think his Siddhartha is after the name. And I hope I can find it. I wanted to speak about it. Siddhartha needed to reinvent his life a few times and move out of the liminal zone. Well, first, actually, I remember. I am from Germany. I remember all these things. First, he was the son of a Brahmin. He was a Brahmin who was really following a very ritualistic and mechanistic type of religious life, and he told his father, "I have to explore the world." So he then went out into the world, he first met some ascetics and saw how hard their heart had become by their, and how proud they had become, how big their ego of "I'm not an enjoyer of the world, I'm a renouncer of the world" had become. So he went to the Buddha, who teaches the middle path. But also that was a spiritual way, and he thought, how can I ever give up the material life if I don't know what it is? So he dove right into material life. He became the husband of Kamini, who was a courtesan, who is this woman of the art of deception, and lived a very sensual life. And then he came to, he could understand, I can't live like this. And he went to, he took yet another path. He went to an enlightened ferryman, a boatman. And as he listened to him, he awakened his spiritual life, and he could understand that beyond this world is the world of the spirit. He says, the line which I remember, "Om, Om, everything was an Om." Om, the syllable. So, yes, Siddhartha, that's your name. Perhaps it has something to do with this journey, where you explore other things than the things which tie you down, that stress you out, that bring your consciousness to a level where you are sad and inactive, yeah, in this vertical path. Sometimes you may have to go against the expectations of your environment. This includes family, parents, friends, colleagues who say you can make it, you can easily earn $3 million in 1 month. Just stay with this. He's a very hard-earning professional who's phenomenally rich, you know. And so on. You if this doesn't serve your spiritual discovery, then only poor people need money. Spiritually poor. Krishna, you look with that incredulous glance at me, yes? It takes, however, strength to give up what is harmful. In old times, people who wanted to get that strength to make the changes in their life, which they knew they already, they went on pilgrimage. They left whatever they were doing and went into a place where there was a sacred center pilgrimage. Always has a shrine, a temple, a saint, and so on. And they got, in that, making that distance, they got clear clarity, and then when they came back, they did small steps to change their lives. I always say, don't change everything at once, but do micro steps. And these micro steps will give you a sense of success, it works, and then your strides will be wider and lengthier. Next. Good. I will think more about it and make specific suggestions if you wish, but I will have to get some intuition what it is. At the moment I don't have. Good. So then I would say we call this an evening. I thank you so much once again, and I will give the microphone to
Hari Prasad. We have a separate microphone here. How far are we, Divya? Ready, yes. Have you greeted the people also? This is our gracious host. She has... I know her since the world was young, I can say like this. She's a jewel of a person, and has a wonderful mission in her life to bring healthy food to the world, which also raises the awareness to spiritual life. She has a restaurant here in New York, which was nominated, I think, as a very the one place to go to when you want to eat vegetarian. And she has written cookbooks, and I survive on her recipes because they are so Ayurvedically informed. I'm sometimes not so strict, but they taste very nice, but some are a little, for me at least, a little complicated. But most are very simple. And she is a revolutionary and wonderful person.
Thank you. Okay, we're very happy to have you here. We thought that this room could fill up with 100 people, but it's only half full, and it's about 85 of us. So
microphone.
It's about 85 of us, so I'm really surprised. This is the most people we've ever had in this space. So I'm very happy that you're all here. We have delicious dinner for you. So we have to do a little regrouping. So as soon as we finish, we'll pull out the tables, and I'll ask you, those of you who are sitting on the chair, to bring the chair and put it by the table. That's where you're going to sit for dinner. And then please come over here, and we have a buffet. Help yourself, and then you can go to your seat. And anything else I should say?
You're not me, so I will say something else than you. No, I think.
Yes, I feel we're all hungry, no?
Yes, they are hungry. I have heard some voices of the stomachs. Hari Prasad wants to close the evening. Huh? Yeah. Thank you.
So, deepest gratitude to Satchidananda Swami for being here. It means so much that you travel from around the world and you share your wisdom, your experience, your realization with us all. Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who came out tonight. We deeply desire to stay connected with you and for you to stay connected with the inner life and keep walking this pathway up. Thank you very much. Enjoy your meal and this sacred sangha.